welcome to the 484th episode of Travel Witch Radio. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my friend and co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, and this is the 11th season of Travel Witch Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel from the comfort of your armchair.
Every week at this time, we talk to people representing destinations, hotels, airlines, railroads, car rental companies, and others in the world of travel and hospitality, from authors and bloggers to broadcasters and publicists. If it's got anything to do with travel, it's got everything to do with Travel Itch Radio.
And our guest tonight is Stephen Fouts, director of the Missouri Division of Tourism. Welcome, Stephen, to Travel Itch Radio.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the opportunity to be here, and thanks for having me.
Stephen, in 2017, Netflix unveiled a new show called Ozark. Did that help or hurt tourism to Missouri?
Oh, that's a great lead-off question. So that show helped, I think, bring some more attention to what was already a wildly popular destination for travelers. The Division of Tourism did some research on that in, I think it was 2019. It was pre-COVID, and the results of that were, and if you've watched the show, you recognize that the subject matter is not always the rosiest, but, you know, people understood that it was fiction, and the research that we performed on that suggested that the show did leave people with positive connotations about the Ozarks in Missouri, and did inspire, some more opportunities for them to think about traveling, consider traveling to Missouri. I think you would find that our partners at the Lake of the Ozarks saw significant upticks in traffic to their website from visitors from around the country. The show has been featured in national and international publications. And so we believe it's been a pretty good thing for the Ozarks.
It sounds just like Hawaii 5.0. When they were proposing to do that show before it ever started, the Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Convention Bureau out there didn't want to do it because they thought it was going to hurt tourism. They found out quite quickly that it was exactly the opposite.
Yeah, I think there are some interesting connections between tourism and the motion media industry. You know, certainly we think about film or television tourism as kind of a subset or niche audience, but there are people who will travel to see and experience some of the things that they have seen depicted on their favorite shows and movies.
Well, we'd like to know about the real Ozark. We know Lake of the Ozarks is a terrific tourist destination in summer. Could you talk about that a little?
Oh, yeah, glad to. So Lake of the Ozarks is a large man-made lake. It's in central Missouri. So if you're familiar with Missouri at all, you know on the east side of the state we have St. Louis, and on the west side is the largest city in Missouri, Kansas City. And then in the middle of the state is Columbia. It's right in the middle of St. Louis and Kansas City. And then about an hour south of there, you start to get into the Ozarks of Missouri, and that's where Lake of the Ozarks is. It's near the towns of Lake Ozark, Osage Beach, and Camdenton, among others. There at Lake of the Ozarks, you'll find Lake Ozark State Park, which is the largest state park in the state. There are a couple of interesting tidbits. There's about 53 miles of trails around Lake of the Ozarks. There's, of course, abundant water activities, you know, from boating and fishing to paddle boarding, kayaking. There's a lot of golf opportunities at the Lake of the Ozarks. It's a great golf destination, plenty of great restaurants, and kind of a fun trivia fact that we always share with people is because of the layout of the lake and the different coves and things, there's actually more shoreline on Lake of the Ozarks than there is on the entirety of the Pacific coast of California.
Wow. Now, when I think of the Ozarks, I think of the Ozark Mountains. But how big is the actual Ozarks territory? Doesn't it stretch beyond Missouri to several neighboring states?
It does, in fact. I think you would find that Missouri and Arkansas are the two states that people primarily think of when they think of the Ozarks. It does reach a little bit into Oklahoma. I believe there is a small portion of what would be considered the Ozarks or Ozark Plateau in Illinois as well, and maybe even a little bit into Kansas. But I think what we have found is that the entirety of the Ozarks region covers about 47,000 square miles of area,
wow.
And that's primarily southern Missouri and northern Arkansas.
Wow. So tell us, why is Springfield called the Queen City of the Ozarks?
Okay, so this is a great question. I had to do a little bit of research to try to find this one out. And the funny thing is, I didn't find a really definitive answer on this. However, one of the libraries in Springfield had some research that suggested someone in the late 1800s wrote a letter to someone and encouraged them to come visit, quote, our Queen City of the Ozarks. And that was a reference to Springfield, and so that nickname kind of stuck. Springfield is the third largest city in Missouri. It's known as the birthplace of Route 66. For you in the travel industry, you certainly know the importance of that highway. It was at a meeting in Springfield, Missouri, that the new highway, the new Chicago to Los Angeles highway, got the name Route 66. So we consider Springfield, Missouri, as the birthplace of the Mother Road.
Oh, that's nice. We're talking with Stephen Fouts about the real Ozark.
Stephen, I flew into Springfield on my way to Branson and enjoyed many shows there, from Yakov Smirnoff to the Lennon Brothers. Isn't that part of the Ozarks as well, and are the theaters still going strong there?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, if you're familiar with Missouri's geography, we really think about the Ozarks as it's a large area to define, but once you get kind of south of I-44, you are definitely in the Ozarks, and that certainly includes the Branson area. Once you get south of Springfield, you really get a sense of being in the Ozarks and the large rolling hills and the beautiful views. And so, yes, Branson is very much a part of the Ozarks. There's some great outdoor opportunities there, from recreational lakes and great fishing to lots of trails, a lot of family-friendly attractions, of course. And, yes, Branson still has a very strong theater industry. There's more than 100 shows that span all genres and interests. At one point, I believe it was on 60 Minutes, the city was dubbed the live entertainment capital of the world, or the live music show capital of the world. You can still find variety shows there, comedy shows, shows that focus on different decades and genres of music, magic shows. And a really cool thing is the showboat Branson Belle is kind of a dinner and a show on a large riverboat on Table Rock Lake. So that's a really cool way to see a show and to experience some of the beautiful natural surroundings in the Branson area.
Well, how does that hilly topography of the Ozarks shape the visitor experience?
Great question. So the Ozarks is known for, again, having that hilly topography. I think it's called karst topography, and I'm not a geologist or anything like that. But it's characterized by having a variety or lots of caves and springs. And I think those are two really great opportunities for people to enjoy when they visit the Ozarks. A lot of the caves in southern Missouri in the Ozarks are open for tours. They're what we call show caves. So, you know, they have guides, and you take guided tours of these caves, and you can experience the Ozarks from inside the earth. And then across southern Missouri, there are a lot of springs that feed our crystal clear rivers and streams, which are excellent destinations for fishing and what we call float trips, so canoe, raft, kayaks, and tubes floating on the rivers. And that's another great way to experience the outdoors in Missouri. You'll find that those floating rivers and streams are teeming with activity, and just being out there and relaxing and having a chance to enjoy nature's beauty. It's a great way to see Missouri and, you know, maybe spend a weekend camping or get out on the trails around the springs. It's just a beautiful area of the country.
Now, you mentioned the caves. It's you're normally, Missouri is known as the Show Me State, but you're also known as the Cave State, and because you have 7,300 caves and trails only in Tennessee. Is it true most of those caves are in the Ozarks?
I think that's very fair, yes. Yes, most of the caves and the show caves are in the Ozarks region of Missouri. You know, going back to Branson for just a minute, Marvel Cave, which is at Silver Dollar City, one of our large theme park attractions. Marvel Cave is the deepest cave in the state. And the main cave, the main space of that cave, just to give you an example, is so large that hot air balloons can actually have been able to float in there. It's a very deep cave. Also in the Ozarks, Fantastic Caverns there in Springfield offers what we believe is the only ride-through cave tour in North America. You hop on a Jeep-drawn tram, and you take an hour-long tour where you don't even have to walk, but you have a guide who drives you through the cave and tells you about the formations and the history of the cave. And then as you go a little farther north, more toward that Lake of the Ozarks area, we have Bridal Cave. And more than 3,000 couples have actually gotten married in that cave. And then along with that, we do have some caves that are outside of the Ozarks as well. The Mark Twain Cave Complex, for example, in northeastern Missouri in Hannibal, is named after, of course, Mark Twain, who is Hannibal's most famous son. There's a cave on Route 66, Merrimack Caverns, that has been very popular for a long, long time. Some of our state parks have really great caves as well, Onondaga Cave State Park, for example. So there are some really fascinating formations and beautiful formations found inside those caves here in Missouri.
Oh, it sounds gorgeous. We're talking with Stephen Fouts about the real Ozark.
Stephen, there's lots of forest land in the Ozark, including the Mark Twain National Forest. What activities can visitors find there?
Mark Twain National Forest is really interesting. There are various sections of Mark Twain National Forest that kind of dot the landscape across Missouri. But again, primarily the bulk of those are in what we would consider the Ozarks. And I think what you'll find is kind of what you would expect in those national forest areas. There's about 750 miles of trails for activities from hiking and horseback riding to mountain biking. There's more than 350 miles of streams, again, for those wonderful float trips. And, of course, a variety of campgrounds, you know, that include everything from, you know, maybe more upscale cabin rentals to tent camping, you know, primitive camping, if you will. And so the Mark Twain National Forest offers another great opportunity to enjoy the outdoors in Missouri.
In addition to forest land, we know there are lots of rivers, lakes, and streams in the Ozarks, and many dams to harness hydroelectric power. When the Army Corps of Engineers built those dams, didn't they create lots of new lakes perfect for recreational use?
Absolutely, yes. You've done your homework. You're quizzing me really good here, so thanks for researching Missouri so thoroughly. That's fantastic. There are a handful of lakes that are great for great recreational lakes that are the result of damming up rivers. So Truman Lake, Harry S. Truman Lake, is actually, I would say, really pretty adjacent to Lake of the Ozarks. And it's a great lake for fishing and outdoor water sports. And in fact, Lake of the Ozarks is probably the best known lake in Missouri, but Truman Lake is just a little bit now, just in terms of acreage, a little bit larger than Lake of the Ozarks. And then again, down at Branson area, you know, Table Rock Lake, again, I talked about that a little bit. One of the great things that people enjoy down there is outside of the lake itself, and there is a great state park there and a state park marina where folks can rent boats and go out on the water, is a fish hatchery that's managed by our Department of Conservation, and people really enjoy seeing the trout that are in that hatchery, and those trout are used to stock the various trout streams across Missouri, particularly Lake Taney Como there in Branson. And then a couple of other smaller lakes also kind of fit that bill. There's Lake Wapapello in southeastern Missouri, Stockton Lake, which I don't know if you know this, Dan, on your travels to Missouri. Stockton Lake is a great place for sailboating. And you may not think about sailboating in Missouri, but because of the lake's orientation, there's generally a breeze across it. And so it's very popular among sailboat enthusiasts. And then again in southwestern Missouri, and sharing this with Arkansas, is Bull Shoals Lake.
Since we're talking about water, we'd love to hear about Grand Falls, the largest natural waterfall in Missouri.
Absolutely. So that is located on what's Shoal Creek, in Joplin. Joplin is a Route 66 city, very popular stop for Route 66 enthusiasts. And that waterfall, it's about 12 feet, but it's about 163 feet wide. And so that's a really great place to stop for photos. People enjoy that. And, again, it's another beautiful natural scene in the Ozarks.
We're talking with Stephen Fouts about the real Ozark.
With so many lakes and rivers, fishing must be a major recreational sport in the Ozarks, am I right?
Absolutely. We people in Missouri love to fish. We bring in a lot of out-of-state visitors who come to the Show Me State for fishing, whether they're interested in, you know, catfishing, crappie, bass. We have a lot of bass and crappie tournaments at our big lakes. And then, you know, I'm not sure how many people outside of Missouri and maybe the Midwest know that we have some really great trout fishing opportunities. In fact, we have four big trout parks at state parks. Bennett Spring State Park is located near Lebanon. That's another Route 66 town in kind of south-central Missouri. Roaring River State Park is one of Missouri's most popular park destinations, and it's down in extreme southwest Missouri near Cassville. Then we also have Montauk State Park, which is in south-central Missouri, a little bit of a drive from the Salem area. And then Merrimack Spring Park, which is a really beautiful little park over by St. James, which is actually on Route 66 as well. The park is a ways off the main highway, but the St. James area is known for its wineries and wine. So a great place to spend a day. You can enjoy a day at the park and then maybe find one of the wineries and have a sip of vino to cap off your afternoon or evening.
I want to tell our listeners that you're listening to Travel Itch Radio, finishing up our 11th season tonight with Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent Lee. Check us out on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com or visit the Travel Itch Radio Facebook page. And we're talking with Stephen Fouts about the real Ozark.
Stephen, the federal government also built hundreds of fire lookouts, with half still in use by the U.S. Forest Service. We hear the National Trust for Historic Preservation listed them among America's 11 most endangered places. Are there other historic homes or buildings in the Ozarks?
Yes, ma'am. There certainly are. On the fire towers, I will say that not a lot of those can be accessed by the public anymore, but there is one that's perhaps worth noting at Tomsawk Mountain State Park, and it's partially accessible. And at one time, and it may still hold this designation, I'm sorry I'm not clear on that, it was the tallest in the state. What's interesting about Tomsawk Mountain is that is the highest point of elevation in Missouri, and I think it's about 1,700 feet. So that state park is really well-loved for people who enjoy hiking. When you get to the top there, you have some beautiful views of Missouri. And it is not too far from a couple of other really popular state parks, which are Elephant Rock State Park and Johnson Shut-Ins. But to look at to go to kind of part two of your question about historic homes, there are several. Thinking about Springfield, for example, there's a place called Pythian Castle. It dates to the, 1910s, 1913, I think, and it's on the National Registry of Historic Places. It's popular year-round, but it's really popular in the fall when we kind of get into that ghost story season. It's one of the places in Missouri that's said to be haunted. And St. Genevieve has some great examples of very rare French colonial architecture. There are only like five of these specific types of buildings in the country, and
mm-hmm.
three of them are in St. Genevieve, Missouri, which was the first permanent European settlement in Missouri. It's a small town located on the Mississippi River. It's about an hour south of St. Louis. But there are homes there in St. Genevieve that date to the 1700s. So it's a really, really great place, especially if you're interested in, you know, early American history. Some wonderful architecture remains there. And then, you know, again, kind of going into that southwest Missouri section of the Ozarks, I think a lot of people would be interested to know that the Laura Ingalls Wilder Home and Museum is in Mansfield, Missouri.
Oh.
Laura Ingalls Wilder, of course, the author of the Little House books. She and her husband lived much of their adult and later life there on the farm in Missouri. And she actually began writing those Little House books while living there.
Oh, how about that? Well, what about Civil War history? I remember reading about the Missouri Compromise, but that happened sometime before the war started.
Yes, and there are several places visitors can explore Missouri's Civil War history, and I'll tie it up a little bit with something we've talked about is our caves. There's a the topic of this show was talking about the real Ozark and the TV show. There actually is a town called Ozark. It's not near the Lake of the Ozarks. It's actually down by Springfield. But Smallland Civil War Cave is listed as a historic district in the National Register of Historic Places. Both Union and Confederate soldiers used that cave during the war as a spot to rest and recover. And then up north in Springfield, actually the Republic area, Wilson's Creek National Battlefield, that was the site of the first major Civil War battle west of the Mississippi River. And you will find Civil War history across Missouri, not just confined to the Ozarks. You know, there's a couple of cemeteries in St. Louis that are the final resting places for many, many figures from the Civil War. And there are some great museums across the state that look at the Civil War from local perspectives. So if you are interested in the Civil War, you will find a lot of places to explore here in Missouri.
And speaking of the Civil War, the U.S. Civil Rights Trail runs through Missouri, but does it also extend into the Ozarks?
So none of the stops, that trail is a national trail, and we have three stops on that trail right now, and they are all excellent to visit. They are not technically in the Ozarks, but those stops are the old courthouse in St. Louis, which is on the right across the street from or near the grounds of the Gateway Arch, the Harry Truman Presidential Library and Museum in Independence, Missouri, is another location on the Civil Rights Trail, and then the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum in Kansas City. Those are the three locations in Missouri that are on the U.S. Civil Rights Trail at this time. But that trail is always growing, and there's more opportunities, we believe, for Missouri sites to be added.
Well, history certainly survives at Silver Dollar City, a theme park near Branson. We hear it's more than 60 years old and has a wide variety of visitor experiences. We'd like to hear more and also to know whether the park is seasonal.
Great question. So Silver Dollar City is seasonal, but it's a pretty long season. It's open from March through December. And in July and August, it's open daily. I think it does have one day it's closed, you know, from during the March through June. But you will find a lot of fun things there, whether you're interested in roller coasters or watching craftsmen and artisans at work, you know, from glass blowers to blacksmiths. If you are a fan of food, Silver Dollar City is the place for you. They have everything you could want from barbecue to you know, sweet treats, ice cream, cinnamon rolls, all kinds of things, chocolates. If you name it, they've got it. Then they have some incredible award-winning roller coasters that a ride or two will literally take your breath away. And, of course, in the heat of summer, there's some great water attractions there as well.
We're talking with Stephen Fouts about the real Ozark.
Stephen, speaking of traditional Ozark culture, isn't much of it found in stories and songs passed down over the years in parties and other informal gatherings?
Yes, ma'am. Yes. You know, passing down stories and songs from one generation to the next has always been an important part of the Ozarks culture. And those traditions have allowed, you know, the stories to be preserved. And we have a really exciting opportunity to showcase the Ozarks and the culture of the Ozarks next year, the Smithsonian Folklife Festival in Washington, D.C., which happens in June and July of 2023, will focus on the Ozarks. And so we anticipate that Missouri will have a big presence at that event, which is expected to draw anywhere from 800,000 to a million people to the mall in Washington, D.C. over that 10-day period in June and July.
Fantastic.
We know square dancing and fiddle music are popular among locals. So is there an Ozarks version of Fiddler on the Roof? Maybe Gordon McCann, who collected Ozarks fiddle music for four decades?
So Mr. McCann was he played an invaluable role in collecting traditional music from the Ozarks, and he was born and raised in the Ozarks, which makes that work more meaningful. And he donated a lot of his tapes to Missouri State University, which is in Springfield, and they are digitized there. So, and you can see them and listen to some of that on the university's YouTube channel today, I think.
Hmm.
Talking with Stephen Fouts about the real Ozark.
Stephen, now we've been talking about the myriad of natural attractions, but we'd also like our listeners to know about the old Ozark Auto Trail. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, the old Ozark Auto Trail kind of roughly, if you will, follows the path of Route 66. So there's a lot of interesting stops along the way. Again, if you're at all familiar with Missouri, Route 66 on the east side of the state comes in the St. Louis area, and it kind of makes a diagonal passage through Missouri, running on a southwestern path toward Joplin. And so along the way, you're going to find, like I said, Merrimack Caverns in Stanton is a popular stop. You'll find places like Rolla, Missouri, St. Robert, Missouri, Lebanon, Missouri, Springfield, Joplin, Carthage. There's a lot of great stops along that route, whether, you know, you're interested in just kind of some of the nostalgia of the 1950s and 60s heyday of Route 66, you know, or you're looking for a great place to eat, or you just like to get out for a drive.
Hmm. So,
okay, time is running out. So how do Travelitch listeners learn more about Missouri and especially the real Ozark?
Absolutely. We encourage everybody who's interested in Missouri to check out our website, visitmo.com. That's visitmo.com. You'll find all sorts of information about traveling to the Show Me State. You can find itineraries and trip ideas, and hopefully you'll connect with us on social media at visitmo on Facebook and Instagram.
Our guest tonight has been Stephen Fouts, Director of Tourism for the great Show Me State of Missouri. Thank you, Stephen, for being our guest on Travelitch Radio.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Mary Ellen. Really appreciate your all's time.
And that's it for this edition and this season of Travelitch Radio. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with Mary Ellen Nugent Lee, saying thank you for your time this time until next year, which will be January 5th, 2023. Happy Thanksgiving, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and Happy New Year to our loyal listeners and their families. Good night and stay safe.